Fun. Let's party.
VOX.
1460 WVOX.
Welcome to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where Brandy gets practical and personal here on WVOX Radio, 1460 on your AM dial at our new day and time, Thursdays from 5 to 6. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and we're here to talk about brands. Your personal brand, your career brand, and even your business brand. Question: have you ever thought you lost your mojo or that your personal brand was washed up and were beginning to doubt whether or not you would ever come back? Well, folks, if you've had that experience, imagine how Michael Phelps felt and all the pressure that he had. And what did he accomplish? And how his nemesis, they're good friends, Loche, how he, is it Loche?
Loti.
And how he was going to destroy Michael.
Right.
And anyway, the deal is we're going to talk about how do we confront some sort of a down period in our personal brands? And this can also be in a business.
That's great timing.
Isn't it great timing?
I'm in a rut. And let me tell you something. Why don't you go ahead and introduce me?
By the way, that is my partner, my radio partner, TJ McCormick. You've heard him.
Way too much.
You've heard him on Brand Talk. Now cut that out. You've seen him on Fox Business, Fox Television,
a long time ago,
and Fox News Channel. Now cut that out. Anyway, he's with us, and he's gonna weigh in to this winner and loser, and
personal,
Step on the beginning. Go ahead.
But I'm just saying. You bring up an issue. I'm relating to where you're going right off the bat.
Well,
personal brand washed up. I'm gonna. You know what my problem is? There are some people that when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Me, when I get into a rut, I decorate.
Bada bing. Hey. Dave, my mother called me Louie because I was the 14th.
Now go on.
Well, this is, we want to hear from you at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110 or doc@brandtalkradio.com. If you have similar kinds of experiences, and it's not only me, and it's not only you, mm-hmm. I get this feeling that this is all over the place. Because I was talking to somebody over at a media place that you and I are familiar with.
Okay.
And he's a writer there. Mm-hmm. And he was I said, how's it going? And he said that things, it seems that bosses want more.
Mm-hmm.
And
for
everything.
Less or the same.
Yeah, or the same. Mm-hmm. Right. And so what has now happened is that everybody, I don't think they're angry. You could say that they're angry, mm-hmm. but there's something in the air, and it's not good. I just saw. Well, I won't go into that.
Okay.
There's a few other things that we're gonna talk about today, and we're gonna talk about our brand loser. Did you know that? And our brand winner, of course, I kind of gave it away, is gonna be Michael Phelps. And next week we have. And this is what I did see. I'm having a former student of mine who is now an environmentalist. He's going to for his master's degree at Harvard University in environmental science.
Wow.
and how appropriate, but I just saw that came across the news feed here that our best friend in the world, Senator John Kerry, had mentioned he's doing his climate change routine and said that climate change is a more serious threat than Iran. And I thought that's, you know, and we're going to, when we talk to, when we talk to, now you behave when Keith is here. You behave yourself.
Is he going to be here in person?
No, he's not.
That's
he's
good.
He's going to call in. Well, we're going to talk about that.
I'm going to tell him. Go ahead.
And then I'm going to show off because I'm trained as a scientist.
Uh-huh.
And how I just think that this is a lot, this climate change
uh-huh.
is a lot about.
Is a whole lot of nothing?
Is really, well, let me just say it this way. I, the way I want to say it is that I'm skeptical, as a scientist should be skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the data is slam dunk.
Right.
And we're gonna, and we'll talk about that when I speak to Keith. In the interview, and and I had seen, you know, by the way, this is John Tantillo and DJ McCormick, and this is Brand Talk here on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. And if you'd like to give us a call, 914-636-0110 or doc@brandtalkradio.com. It's just that when, if you're a scientist, you have to be skeptical. And what you never want to do is commit what they call in science a type one error. And a type one error is saying that a phenomena exists when in fact it really doesn't.
Uh-huh.
And I was watching over the weekend Stossel. And I like Stossel because he does this counterintuitive, what all the geniuses say is going on, and then says, proves, has the data to prove
right.
that it isn't going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this one gentleman, and folks, I'm really sorry. I tried to Google the book, and I couldn't get it. When the show is repeated, I will promise you I will get the name of the book and the author. And this author basically said, and this is another thing that gets me revved up,
uh-huh.
is that science is a brand. You know, huh. so all those people say, Tantillo, you're using branding too much. You don't know what you're talking about. And this guy says science is a brand. And his idea, this gentleman who wrote a book, basically said
right.
that in the history of science,
uh-huh.
scientists have been liars and have promoted
really
in the beginning they basically mess up the they skew the research
uh-huh.
to indicate what they really want. And we saw this by the intelligence twins testing, IQ
right.
test things. We see this in the we saw this in global warming.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the data's cooked.
Mm-hmm.
But his point is that in the scientific community, there's more politics than there is in the White House. There's more
wow.
jealousies, and they're not interested in money. They're interested in fame.
Prestige and fame. Wow.
Fame.
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of the research that's done, when I was doing research,
right.
the expression was, approaching significance, which basically meant that it looked like the data was going in a direction, but it wasn't at the 95% confidence
right,
level.
Right, right.
It was the 94th
uh-huh.
or the 93rd.
Right.
And so what you could do is fool around a little bit.
Okay.
And my point being here
mm-hmm.
Is that we got to be, if we're scientists,
right.
as our fathers would be from that generation,
yes,
that crowd was very how could I say it, very conservative mm-hmm. in what they would accept as a phenomena, while this young crowd, and I'm talking about people my age mm-hmm. and a little bit younger, they'll be more willing to accept mm-hmm. a phenomena for the reasons of getting funding.
Wow.
So that's where the action is. Now I'm sure some of my our listeners aren't going to really go for some of the stuff that I'm saying. But uh-huh. You have to have a discussion of this.
Right.
That's what we're.
Right.
And I'm not saying that there is no such thing as global warming. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is the jury is out.
Right.
And that's all I'm saying.
Right. And that's why also I continue and will always continue to hold their feet to the fire, no pun intended. And I am going to continue, when the subject is raised, call it global warming. That's how it started. That's
right.
Where I'm keeping it, because
right.
they get real cute with their terminology.
And I might have mentioned to you that a very dear professor of mine, I mentioned him, and his name was Dr. Thomas Verhaave, V-E-H-A-V-E.
No, not that I remember.
Okay.
I haven't mentioned.
Well, anyway, when I was at Queens College, he taught a course called The History of Ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And all through history, but there has been the, I shouldn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
From the 1800s and around the 19th century, mm-hmm. there was a group of people mm-hmm. who felt that technology was destroying humanity.
Wow.
Okay, and they were called the Luddites.
And that's the Luddites?
That's the Luddites.
That's what they did.
Okay, so what happened was mm-hmm. in the 1830s when the Industrial Revolution, when they were beginning to put machinery into the factories instead of people
right.
putting
right.
sewing things.
Sure. The Industrial Revolution.
These people, which was basically a union movement, mm-hmm. the beginning of the union movement,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They decided that technology was going to destroy man.
Right.
And, you know, you fast forward this to, you know, Al Gore's indecent proposal or whatever the heck I should say, that movie he did,
mm-hmm.
and basically emotionalized science.
Right.
And you really can't do that. And when we talk to Keith next week, we're going to talk about the different stages of science, observation, and then the experimentation in the laboratory, and as opposed to then the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And we could discuss all these issues and why the jury is in fact still out when it comes to global warming. But I'm only one man, and I'm all I have is a PhD in psychology.
Well, what do you know?
What do I know?
What do you know?
I don't know.
You only defended your PhD.
Anyway, 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110. And you know, this past week I had a very wonderful experience. I went to dinner with a restaurateur, my dear friend Stephen Bruce. He's the owner of Serendipity. And that's such a wonderful place. And
which
Serendipity. We have to take the girls there.
Yeah.
And they're known for the frozen hot chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite. But for the adults in there, and if you got to watch your carbs, which I have to do,
mm-hmm.
It's the chicken wings. The best chicken wings in New York City.
Wait.
Go ahead,
Dr. John Tantillo.
Yes.
Foodie.
Yes. And I love frankfurters. I like hot dogs.
Well,
yes.
I've seen you destroy about 74 pigs in blankets.
I love it.
John Tantillo is personally responsible for the slaughter of about 148 pigs over the last year and a half.
Don't tell my cardiologist.
Oi, Vase, Mir.
I've been
to receptions with John. We walked into one of the hoitiest and or toitiest chamber music concerts one night on the Upper East Side.
It was the Normandy room.
It was in the such and such club.
Right, Normandy, yeah.
And John Tantillo made a beeline. First of all, I'll make a comparison. My daughter walking into Rye Playland and John Tantillo walking into an walking into an event where they have roaming waiters with hors d'oeuvres.
They didn't stand a chance.
It's the same face. My daughter at Playland and John at a reception. And to watch you, and now some people will do. You'll take most of us normal people. I love you.
Go ahead.
We take our pig in blanket and we give it a nice dip. Usually we cover the end of it and boom. John goes in. They have to replace the mustard 3 times. You love the mustard. You love the whole experience.
I just love Frankfurters. Yeah. I know them as Frankfurters.
They're good, aren't they?
I grew up in I was the token Italian,
mm-hmm.
and my grandfather was the token Italian mm-hmm. in the German neighborhood. And we had all these wush.
Yeah.
Hey, Johnny.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have some
wush.
Right. As a matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
there was the Kennedys.
Mm-hmm.
When the Kennedy family
okay.
used to send their housekeeper to Ridgewood, Queens, to Moshe's, the butcher, to get the authentic woosh. There was, I think it was called blood wooshed.
Oh, wow.
Which was, cardiac arrest by saying it.
Yeah, yeah,
never
yeah.
mind seeing it.
Sure.
Just saying it. It was bad. But what can I tell you? This is Tantillo McCormick Brand Talk 1460 on your AM dial. Give us a call at 914-636-0110. So anyway,
yes.
we go to. So I'm there with Stephen Bruce
at Serendipity.
No, we weren't at Serendipity.
Oh,
we're at a place called La Promenade.
Okay, sorry.
And I'm a personal friend of the chef, Alan Allegretti.
Oh my God!
Now let me tell you about Alan Allegretti.
Mm.
He is the most handsome man
really
you ever want. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I have brought people from Fox
uh-huh.
there.
Right.
And it was like the E.F. Hutton commercial. They stopped and they said, I've never seen a man so handsome.
The fish stopped swimming.
And right. I mean, he's just such a talented.
Right.
Talent. The guy could call. So anyway, right. to make a long story short,
yeah.
he's away.
Mm-hmm.
He's with his daughter and he's with his daughter in France.
Uh-huh.
He gives me the call because I'm coming.
Right.
And I have a meal.
Right.
That was just, I didn't have the lamb chops. I had a tuna sandwich that was like nothing like it. It sounds strange.
Yeah.
But it was delicious.
We're talking a tuna steak.
A tuna, yeah, yes. It
filet
was, I'm telling you, it was magnificent.
Wow.
And it was the combination of that, a little bit of the onion. It was just... Yeah. It was a cacophony of taste.
Let me ask you, about the Serendipity chicken wings.
Go ahead.
Just to get a visual on this, are they? Do they look like chicken wings?
Yes,
like,
they do look like chicken wings, but they're not deep fried.
Okay,
they're baked in the oven, okay. and they have like a curry taste to
okay.
them. And they're just I took my producer John
right.
Jonathan there with uh-huh. his wife and his daughter Coco.
Okay,
and we went there one day and I've never seen Jonathan go to the town with food
sometimes,
before. It was incredible. We were just going crazy.
Sometimes the most peasant sounding food can be such a sublime delicacy. For example, at Osteria di Cerco,
yes.
the zucchini chips.
Oh. They're unbelievable.
I mean, they're sublime.
Yeah.
They're just the most delicate, gorgeous.
They melt in your mouth.
They do.
They do. They really
and
melt
so
in your
it's,
mouth.
But it's interesting how such a peasant-y type of TGI Fridays sounding,
right.
you know.
Well, but, the, you know, so anyway. So
go ahead,
it's the So now, let me finish.
Go ahead.
Because this was the kicker.
Uh-huh.
So we get a special dish from the dessert. And this is what, you know, this is what happens when you go to dinner with Tantillo.
Yeah.
You're getting something flown in or something
I've
like
been
this.
So blessed, yes.
Anyway. So the chef comes out and says, we have this specially for you. I hope you like it.
Uh-huh.
And we look at it. Now, we're in a high-class French restaurant on 23rd Street, La Promenade, and he brings me meatballs.
Huh.
Okay?
Okay.
Meatballs.
Right.
In, what's the Italian word for grits?
Polenta.
Polenta.
Mm-hmm.
A butter polenta.
Okay.
Tomato sauce and the meatballs
hmm.
that tasted like my mother's meatballs. I was so impressed.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. I called my sister up. I said, Diane, I got mom's meatballs when you come into they were incredible. They were mm-hmm. incredible. And I told the chef this was but the point I'm making here, and by the way, this is WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. This is Dr. John Tantillo. It's Brand Talk and TJ McCormick. And we're talking about restaurants right now and a great brand called La Promenade.
Yeah.
And we're going to have Alan Allegretti on the show when he comes back. He comes back on the 8th. So sometime at the end of August, the beginning of September, we'll have him on. And I was just so taken back by that meatball.
Wow.
But
isn't this something?
It was that serendipitous. Yeah. I'm sure that my cardiologist with all the butter that's
right,
in there.
Right.
But anyway, 914-636-0110. So there you have it. And here's another thing that wanted to bring up, and I'm in the science thing these days. You know, sometimes you take for granted, TJ,
yeah.
and folks, your background. You know how I was trained. I was trained as an academic psychologist researcher. That's how that was my training.
Your doctorate is research psychology.
Yes, it's applied research psychology. So I mean, what I should have done, but of course I couldn't because I would have. I wouldn't have been able to do it. It's just so dry. Just take a look at do experiments all day,
mm-hmm.
and write, which would have been the fun part. But
right.
doing experiments, and so and in your training, what you would do is read other experiments and pick the flaws of the research.
Okay,
and so. To make a long story short, yesterday there was a poll in the New York Times. It was the Quinnipiac poll, a CBS Wall Street Journal Quinnipiac poll, in which President Obama mm-hmm. was ahead in Florida, Ohio, and Pennsylvania.
Mm.
And a friend of mine called me up and said, well, what does this all mean? And I said, it's a Quinnipiac poll. They're generally not a very reliable poll,
right.
And you know, you gotta understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So I left it go, and then of course I was watching Dick Morris last night, who basically said
right.
that the poll showed 10% more Democrats who responded to the poll,
uh-huh.
and that's why you got the results that you got.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with that in mind, what it really also tells me is I started to think about when I did research and when people would answer questionnaires, what you would have to be careful of. And nobody talks about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to another reporter from the Wall Street Journal off the record about this, and it seems to be going on.
Mm.
And that's what I call social desirability response.
Ah.
In other words, are people giving their true feelings
uh-huh.
about who they're going to vote for?
Right.
Or are they giving the socially desirable
the politically correct.
The politically correct for fear of whatever.
Some being found out.
Right. Yeah, and it is much easier to be a Democrat than it is to be a Republican.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so much cooler.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't
think. Absolutely.
I mean, you know, but anyway, so these are some things that it's just got my research juices going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of my brand.
Yes.
So anyway, this is Tantillo McCormick, 917-687-3900, Brand Talk, WVOX. And which gives us the gets us to the winner of the week, who I think is my man, Michael Phelps.
Okay.
And, you know, Michael Phelps is the guy next door. He's not a great-looking guy.
Right.
He's just an ordinary-looking guy with a tremendous talent.
True.
And I think when you have all that talent, if I can just say, I think he's pretty humble. When you take a, if you compare him to his nemesis, Ryan
Lochte.
Lochte.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And what really, and it must be in the family. And I, if I were advising him, I would say, cool it.
Tell mom to.
Well, no, he's a little bit, I mean, if you go to the website, it's me.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah,
you know,
and
it's not.
There's no I in team.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And his mother today made a, I think, a faux pas by saying that her son has no time for relationships, only one night stands. I could just imagine if my mother said something, that would have been absolutely.
You think his publicist and his agent who is securing endorsements loved that from mama?
I don't know.
Oh my God!
So
they hate that.
I mean,
that's who's telling him to shut her up.
Yeah. Yes.
His representation.
Right. Well. Same. Anyway, that's how, and it kind of gives you an idea.
Right.
If you go to the website.
Yeah.
You get this feeling that it's a little too slick.
Yeah, well, hey, being a player doesn't get you on the Wheaties box.
Right. Well, we're here up to break. See you after the break. More Brand Talk.
And national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. President Obama in the key swing state of Florida attacking Mitt Romney's tax plan.
The average middle-class family with children would be stuck with a tax increase of more than $2,000.
The president at Rollins College in Orlando. Mitt Romney earlier in Colorado promising 12 million jobs in his first term. At the Olympics, one of the USA's big Fab Five in gymnastics wins a big one.
Gabrielle Douglas taking home the gold in the women's individual all-around gymnastics competition. The 16-year-old, nicknamed the Flying Squirrel. It's the second win for her in London, previously getting a gold in the women's team gymnastics.
Fox Radio's Phil Itner in London at the Olympics. Another first, Kayla Harrison winning America's first ever gold medal in judo, the U.S. with 37 medals so far, China with 34. Fox News, we report, you decide.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Hi, this is Meteorologist Steve Pelletieri. Look for skies to be mostly clear for this evening. Moonlit skies through the overnight. Evening readings generally in the 70s to near 80. Overnight lows in the upper 60s towards daybreak on Friday. Friday sets up sunny in the morning, partly sunny in the afternoon with a chance of a shower or a thunderstorm. A hot, humid day, highs near 90. There's a chance of a thunder shower at night. Nighttime lows in the lower 70s. Outlook for Saturday and Sunday, partly sunny each day with a chance of a thunderstorm, middle to upper 80s this weekend. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD.
86 degrees in New Rochelle.
You've been working way too hard on the way home.
Have some fun
with VOX.
WVOX.
We're back. It's John Tantillo, TJ McCormick, and we're at Brand Talk on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. And we just was finishing off our winner, who is Michael Phelps and his colleague, and I said nemesis, maybe I shouldn't. I like to call him Lochi. You say Low-key or Loche, or I say tomato, you say tomato. So anyway.
Well, tomato doesn't sound anything like Lochi. I don't know why you would
okay,
want
okay, all right, okay.
But anyway. Ryan Tomato.
Right, well, Lochi, uh-huh. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
His mother made a little faux pas, and if you take a look at his website, it's very slick, and it's what gives marketing and branding a bad name. It looks, it's a little too overproduced. I mean, he's selling a workout video already.
Right.
I don't know. I believe in free enterprise, and
sure.
But it's just, I don't know. I just am much more of a Michael Phelps fan.
Yeah.
It's like comparing Sinatra to Perry Como or Vic Damone. I mean, everybody's got their own target market.
Can I give you my loser?
Yeah, go ahead.
You want my loser?
Go for it.
Because Lochi was your loser, right?
No, he really wasn't. But
oh, who's
but,
your brand loser?
No, that's all right.
Oh, no.
My brand loser
was WikiLeaks. No, let's go to that. Because you just did the winner.
But it's WikiLeaks, but yours is...
No, I don't want to go out of context here.
Okay, well, it was basically WikiLeaks.
Uh-huh.
And they fabricated something, and...
WikiLeaks fabricated something?
Yeah, they had a... basically they did is they had a fallacious... a fallacious article written by a supposed New York Times editor, and they did. Oh, just kidding. And
really,
it was not very good. But yours is much better. And if you wanna take a look, I think TJ's is a much better one.
Oh, all right.
But go ahead.
Okay.
Forgive me.
I was.
No.
I didn't. I thought you had juxtaposed Lochi and Phelps. I didn't.
No.
I thought that was your. Okay. My brand loser is the National Broadcasting Company.
Yes. And
NBC.
Bing,
ding, ding. Proud as a peacock. All right. My reason is very good. Is that we. Right now, in the last, about a half hour ago before the show started, I was exposed to not one, but two results that I did not want to know. And I, in other words, I know what happened today in the Olympics. I wasn't able to insulate myself from the news as I had been trying to do. Now, you can watch just about everything online. If you're a cable subscriber, you can sign up. I have signed up. I have access to it. I'm not always able to. At some point during the day, you can't always just watch it. However, I was available at around 10 or 11 this morning. Okay?
Right.
This is silly, obnoxious, and insulting, the way that NBC is holding primetime type events until prime time. They are holding them from us to be able to see them while news in this Twitter, Facebook, .com world. We are exposed to all of this news while you're trying to escape it. Because you know what? You know where I found out what happened in two different sports? Drudge Report. I'm looking at Drudge Report to find out some political news, and there's Olympic news right in my line of vision. Because you know why, John? Breaking, this
TJ.
Is, here you go, message for NBC. The Olympics is news. It's not sports. It's news. When a world record, it's news. If something's going on with Phelps, it's news. Anything to do with gymnastics in a medal round is news. So you can take all of your research. You can take all of your notions about ratings and ad time and what's more valuable. You're pulling in tons and tons more ad revenue from your website and all of the supposedly quote unquote free streaming out there that gets interrupted by ads, but I'm okay with it. You can take all that and throw it out the window, because now tonight I'm going to walk in my living room and have to suspend disbelief and pretend that I don't know what happened. You know, and it's obnoxious to me that this is what's going on. NBC is covering. This is not China. This is not Australia, where it's past the international dateline. It's not a 12 or 14 hour difference. That was annoying enough. I'm a big boy. If I want to see the Olympic gymnastics as it happens, I'll get up at 4 in the morning if I really want to. As a matter of fact, that's fun. That's adventurous. Mm-hmm. That's cool to set your alarm and get. I'm getting up at 4:30 to watch them go for it.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about 5 hours difference.
Right.
A 9 o'clock primetime event, an 8 o'clock primetime event is going on. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I remember when it was like that. When I was a kid, they would have them on in real time. And right. It was cool.
Right.
And you know what? It's summertime. Kids are home. Let us see these things as they're happening. The way, and I'm going to wrap with this, John. NBC is a loser, brand loser, because the Olympics should be on from the, and I'm not stupid, do the Today Show. From the Today Show on should be wall-to-wall Olympics.
Yeah, well, the world has changed, and yes. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
And you realize
yeah.
what they're trying to do. They can't change...
Right.
They can't charge, I should say, the same amount of money during the day
right.
than for advertising as they can at night.
Right.
And so that's why they're waiting for the evening. Otherwise, they would have to discount all their advertising.
I would love to see the numbers in the next couple of days.
Right.
How many people are watching...
Right.
And at night, and there is no way that their numbers are the same because everybody knows it's already happened.
And by the way, that's TJ McCormick, John Tantillo, Brand Talk. We're talking about the Olympics.
It's a new normal, I think.
We're going to get to this. 914-636-0110 or doc at brandtalkradio.com. I remember as a teacher, I was teaching at St. John's University, and somebody from NBC addressed the students. And this was in 1987, 88, something like that.
All right.
And they were bidding, I think, at that time. Now, I could be wrong. It might have been maybe I was at, it might have been a little later than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they were bidding for the 2012 Olympics.
Okay.
I mean, it's like it was a 20 year, it was 20 years out.
Sure is.
So with that in mind, the world has changed even in 5 years. I mean, there wasn't a Twitter. Well, Twitter was around 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the world has changed. So, you know, it's very difficult to blame these folks because they were bidding on these games when the revenue stream was based on certain models.
Right.
And now... I mean, the audience has gone down.
Across
the board.
Sure.
I mean, when you used to watch the Brady Bunch,
right.
you were getting 40 million people
right.
to watch the Brady Bunch.
Right.
The average situation comedy now gets anywhere from 6 to 10 million people to
right.
watch.
Right. And again, I'm sorry, but you know what? I think if I'm an advertiser, from now on, I'm telling NBC, you know what? You know what? All this load that you're selling me about what I need to be paying for prime time, you know what? Do us all a favor then, and there's no way they can embargo the results. You know,
right.
I think NBC. John, you come from the advertising, the marketing, all the branding background. Couldn't NBC? I mean, isn't the Olympics special? Can't they charge more because it's Olympic broadcast? I mean, are they? In other words, is the standard what they would be selling Ellen DeGeneres? Or something?
Okay, the standard is how many people are viewing at one time.
Uh-huh.
That is the standard.
Okay.
Now, they have tried to use recorded results.
Uh-huh.
They tried to use different methodologies,
uh-huh.
but they have to live within that. And of course, if you're Procter & Gamble,
right.
you really, how can I say this politely? You are self-interested. You want the best deal you possibly can get.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, so that if the numbers are, you know, I mean, daytime numbers are nowhere near evening numbers, what's going to happen is they're going to say, I want a discount. Go ahead.
Wouldn't it do wonder? Now, I know you'll say yes to this, so I'm not even going to say wouldn't it.
No, no,
but
go ahead.
I can imagine the wonders it would do for NBC to have had the foresight to have said, they got beaten up bad enough when it was the Beijing Olympics, John.
Yes.
They got beaten up bad enough when it was on the other side of the world almost.
Right.
Okay? Now it's 5 hours away on the other side of the pond.
Mm-hmm.
They had to know. And you know, wouldn't it have just done amazing things for their brand to say, we are going wall to wall, enjoy, and we're gonna, and then they could still do unique programming around the Olympics at night.
I agree with you, but you're
preaching to the choir.
No. You're bringing up a good point. And how do you feel? 914-636-0110. It's Tantillo McCormick. It's Brand Talk here on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. We've experienced this in our own lives with our own. Mm-hmm. Situations.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a disconnect between the suits on the executive floor versus the people not on the executive floor.
Right.
And everyone is CYA.
Yes.
And, you know, who's going to go and fight that battle,
right?
And so, and then, as I mentioned, the planning, it takes years upon years,
right?
About plan for this. Mm-hmm. I would dare say that the next go around of bidding on the Olympics is going to be a very, very different, a different place to see.
Yeah,
but I agree in theory. It's the practice that's what always gets you.
Mm.
It's always, how do you put this into practice?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, say what you want.
Right.
But broadcast television, mm-hmm. there's still nothing like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you're on either ABC, CBS, or NBC.
Sure.
You're getting, even though the audience is fragmented or scattered.
Right.
I mean, you're still going to get more than you get on a cable network, which mm-hmm. maybe gets anywhere from 1 to 3 million people watching.
Right.
And, you know, Tantillo's rule is at 3 million, you get to be recognized on the street.
Right.
That 3 million.
Your rule. I love that.
3 million is when people will stop and say, I've seen you.
I love that gauge.
But other than that, it's more intimate and it's not as reliable.
I need one more Hannity.
You need one more Hannity, yeah.
And then I've surpassed 3 million.
Right. Well, see, I would have.
Oh,
to
you
say,
mean at a time?
Yeah. See? And it's got to be a repetition of like three or four.
Well, that's like a TJ Grand Slam. You see, not I don't right. have all the titles at once, but I had them right. all in a row.
Right. Right.
So it's not a cumulative 3 million.
Right, and that's TJ. Right, it's TJ McCormick.
Mwah,
it's
mwah, mwah, mwah.
He is the man behind the mic here and. Brand Talk 1460 on your AM dial. And we're just shooting the breeze about different brands. We were talking about Michael Phelps, Ryan.
Seacrest. No, oh, no.
Stop that.
No. Loki. Hey, I got another one for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I love me some Tantillo. I listen to the good doctor. And everybody out there, you know from listening to this show, John's Uber brand. If there was an all-time lifetime achievement brand winner, it is P&G, right?
Procter oh, yeah. Gamble. Oh, yes.
Procter & Gamble. Kudos, kudos, kudos for, I think, the best.
Go ahead.
The best series of ads on the Olympics thus far.
Go ahead.
Is the ones where it says... To the moms, they'll always be our kids. It's that's the theme, and it's a series of vignettes of little kids as Olympic athletes, right?
Oh, I love it.
Okay,
a little
7-year-old boy on the platform about to dive. A little girl, and also shots of some, I believe it's current athletes from home video now, not home films. And anyway, and then there's a little kid, the kid jumps, and then you see the adult enter the water, and you see, and it fades off with mom lifting out of her seat with excitement. And then, as they say, you know, they'll always be our little kids. And it speaks directly to moms. And as the commercial fades, it shows all of the P&G companies.
Yes. Well, that's great. I have to respond.
Yes.
Because that's an example of corporate advertising.
There you go.
And I hope I can clean this up. I had a very dear friend. His name was Larry Deckinger. Mm-hmm. And he used to work for Gray Advertising.
Ah.
And in the advertising business, mm-hmm. it was said, let me see if I can say this, corporate advertising is like peeing in your pants.
Wow.
What happens is it feels good initially. It's nice and warm. Mm-hmm. But in the end, you just wet yourself.
Oh,
jeez. And unfortunately, it just makes everyone feel good, but it doesn't drive sales, in other words. And so, with accolades to them, but
right.
I would be one of those people saying, and that was done,
in other words,
by the corporate communications group.
Right.
Over at, in not other the marketing
words,
people.
In other
Go
words,
ahead.
So in other words, okay, Procter & Gamble, what does that make me know? What's one of their big brands? Would it be Johnson & Johnson?
Tide.
What exactly does that tell me about Tide?
That's exactly.
That's okay. So in other words, now is corporate advertising? Is that basically Procter & Gamble walking into the craps game with a big wad of bills going, hey, look what I can do. Boom, 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 boom.
Exactly.
Throw this down. Here you go, kid. Get me a scotch.
It's more of an image than it is
a
response. Well, I don't know. Well, they have a lot of great things to show off about.
That's what I'm saying.
They're just such a wonderful company. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe
what it is, though, is that I think the reason it's getting such a positive response from me is, you know what? The message is nice. And maybe it's almost like, you know, they're just sort of giving everybody a feel good 30 seconds.
That's fine.
Right.
They have every right to do that.
Sure.
I'm a marketing guy,
right?
And if I were advising them on how to spend their dollars,
yeah.
I just don't. I think that
throw a Tide commercial there,
throw a Tide commercial there, or throw some, you know, one of their food product lines,
right.
or something that is going to, generate some sales and do all that nice things, maybe in a sales promotion. I don't know.
Okay,
I'm just not a big fan of that kind of advertising. But,
right, gotcha.
But we're at this time, folks.
Yes.
For the perennial crowd favorite, Dr. John Tantillo's Did You Know That? And Did You Know is where little known facts are brought center stage for your delight, amazement, and dare I say, your continuing education. And now, Did You Know That?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, Did You Know That? Do you celebrate Chester Greenwood Day? My guess is that you don't, unless you live in Farmington, Maine. That's the town where Chester Greenwood spent his life making a difference and even changing the world. In fact, I guarantee that once in your life, you won a Greenwood innovation. Chester was a high school dropout, but his inventive mind never stopped ticking. Have you ever seen a box of matches with an advertisement on it? That's Chester. Or used a steel tooth rake? You've got Chester to thank. He even introduced the telephone to his small town. But it was what he did when he was only 15 that made him rich. The year was 1873 and Chester was skating on a local pond. Bending down to tie his skates in frigid conditions, his ears began to freeze. Eureka! He had a great idea. At home later, Chester asked his grandmother to sew fur on loops of wire. 4 years on, and after replacing the wire loops with a steel band, he received patent number 188-292. But Chester wasn't done yet. He opened a factory to produce a version of his invention, and in World War I, made a fortune selling them to the U.S. Army. The invention? You guessed it. The earmuff. And it was the earmuff and Chester's determination and follow-through that led to all ear protection against both cold and sound that we have today. And now you can say, yes, I know that.
We are back. It's Brand Talk. TJ McCormick, John Tantillo here on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. You heard this one.
Yeah, I love it, though. Yeah. That's such a great one.
Well, you know,
to know what he went on to is
great. Yeah, well, you see, what's great about this one, it was very serendipitous that this came up today, is this idea of not giving up.
Right.
And if as you hear a lot of these did you know that's, it's the people just continuing on, you know, driving on and not worrying about whether or not they're going to succeed or not. There was no other option but to succeed.
Absolutely.
And as I always say, my as our producer Jonathan always says, the only difference between those who succeed versus those who fail is that those who succeed just never give up.
Wow.
And that should probably be the end of our, you know, at the end of the show, I should do that as the ending. Mm. Well, maybe we'll incorporate that one of these days. But that's it. So, I mean, it's just a wonderful, wonderful.
It's a common thread. Is the whole never giving up. And you know, and that's a mode I'm in right now.
Yeah.
I need to not give up, and I'm exhausted.
Hey, well, you know, it's rough out there. Like I said, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they're not happy out there.
Yeah.
A lot of people are not happy. And anyway, so, you know, and my dear friend Governor Huckabee was doing his protest the other day and on the Chick-fil-A. And, you know, it was almost a shocker for some people why Chick-fil-A had record number of sales yesterday.
Right.
And
huge.
Yes. And the reason for that is because this is a great example.
Right.
Of a sales promotion. And
sure.
Okay, it had a very targeted audience.
Absolutely.
People that agreed with what the owner said. And they promoted it and build it and they will come. And that's why it was such a success.
Right.
Because but it's still.
Yeah.
If you're Chick-fil-A, I would have said he should not have done that.
Keep it to yourself.
Keep it to yourself.
Because
it really, you know, and you see that the other politicians now are beginning to pedal back.
Right.
Because really they shouldn't have done that.
They should have just left it alone. You know, when is the American right going to stop swinging at every single pitch that comes out of the Democrats' hands? You know, when are they going to stop swinging at everything that floats out there? You know, every once in a while, don't swing the bat. Let the ball go by.
Yeah. I mean, I see. I don't see things in left and right. I see things more, TJ, as you well know, in terms of making sense to people and not confronting people. Yeah. I mean, that's what we do on this show. I'm not here to throw bombs.
Right.
I'm here more to get people to think about different issues from a different perspective, from a branding perspective, which I always get resistance.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't be looking at it from that perspective.
And again, though, in the end, funny enough, it is in keeping with, after all is said and done, it's in keeping with the Chick-fil-A brand. It actually is. They are out there. Everybody knows they're a Christian-run organization.
Right.
Everybody knows that they they close on Sundays, they keep the Sabbath, they encourage this, they encourage that. And, you know, look, and again, I think if anything, there was a benefit paid in the sense that it showed the hypocrisy. Somebody put out a great thing. Here's Rahm Emanuel, first of all, talking about Chicago values on the day of the 400th murder in the city this year, whatever it was. But you know what? Somebody put out a great point. He said, okay, so Rahm Emanuel wants to deny building permits and business permits to Chick-fil-A.
Right.
All right. Okay. Well, then somebody explain to me, because they have an anti-gay message. Well, then somebody please explain to me why he's ready to willing to and regularly embraces the right of Louis Farrakhan to come in with his anti-gay message.
But you see, TJ,
he doesn't want to shut him down.
This is good for politics.
Right.
It's not good for business. And it's not good for brands.
No, it's true.
And I mean, and that's what we, you know, that's what I'm here to do.
Sure.
If a client came to me and said, I got this idea, I want to promote my religious beliefs and get people, I would, you know, to the store.
Right.
I would say, think about a different approach.
Yeah.
Because it's got you. What you don't want to do is you don't want to do harm.
Yeah.
You don't want to ever turn a client away.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm being a little idealistic.
No,
but that's,
but I think this there is a wild card here in that there's a lot of people. You know what? There's a lot of people that go to Chick-fil-A because that's who they are. There's people, not only because it's a great product, but you got people down south who will go to Chick-fil-A because they know they're going to support a Christian.
You really think so?
Oh, John. Atlanta, the Carolinas,
see,
Mississippi,
I'm a taste guy. I mean, I would go, you know.
Oh, the taste is great, but you know what? Wendy's makes a hell of a chicken sandwich.
Right.
I love Chick-fil-A. I don't go there because of their religious things. I know when I'm standing in the business, I'm glad that's where I'm spending my money. Up until right now, I don't, you know, because I am pro gay marriage, you know, but I don't apply it. I'm a taste guy too.
Well, folks, that's our show. Listen to Brand Talk every Thursday from 5 to 6 on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. This is Dr. John Tantillo and TJ McCormick saying it's always easier when you keep your brand in mind. See you next week.